Now, it has been a while since I was able to call myself a PC gamer. Not that I have anything against you, and every once in a while we get like one of our listeners tweeting at us with like the hashtag PC Master Race, and I don't find it to be a battle. It's just that I have a limited amount of money, and if Microsoft and Sony are going to sell me two consoles for what I could, you know, pay for a PC, I have to make a choice. So I think the last time I had a serious gaming PC was, let's say, about 2005. So I've been out of it for a little bit. So what are you guys excited about right now? The people who are listening right now who are thinking about getting into PC gaming again. If I had the money, I'd jump right back in. Steam's doing some wonderful sales right now. What are you guys excited about? What's new and fresh with you guys?
Well, we've got an entirely fresh lineup of products. We started off in September with our new R series. So we have an R9, R7, R5 series of graphics. Really, there's a phenomenal product for every price point. What it means is you get the same core technologies called GCN. You can actually find that same similar technology in an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4. We're very prevalent in the entire gaming industry. But for, you know, under $100, you can have a graphics card that plugs into virtually any PC and really upgrade your gaming experience. So, you know, consoles are a fixed price point. PCs, obviously, you can go from a couple hundred dollars for something very, very basic, scale all the way up to thousands of dollars for the most exotic products. You know, 3-4 graphics cards, water cooling, all that really cool stuff, multiple monitors. And really, we can service that entire audience.
Now, you did go over it in sort of an overview sort of way, but is there sort of a card that you are thinking of for, say, the really high price point and the very low price point? And I don't mind when you start talking about the lower end, when I get my pen out and start writing things down. I'm just taking notes for myself.
Absolutely. So if we go to the extreme high end, we have the phenomenal Radeon R9 295X2, which is a dual GPU card. It's one board, two graphics processors on it, and it is water cooled right out of the box. So you can take it out, plug it in, mount the water cooling radiator in your PC, and you've got the best gaming experience for a mere roughly $1,500.
A mere, sure, but there are people out there that have that amount of money that are looking for these products. So I'm not going to say anything other than you're outside of my price point. Let's talk about something a little cheaper.
Sure. A really great product for just over $100, $150 roughly, is one of our new APUs, an A10. It is a graphics processor as well as the computer processor, the x86 cores, on one single chip. Now, granted, you have to have the rest of the PC to go with it, so it's not a single upgrade. But if you purchase a PC with that product inside of it, you're going to get a great gaming experience at 1080p, which is the most common monitor resolution on the market.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you guys are also in consoles now, so I do actually have some of your products in my house. I got a PlayStation 4 right now. But you guys seem to be... It's not that you were not around before. I mean, I mentioned 2005, the last serious gaming computer I had. I think it was a Radeon 75,000. I don't know. It has been a while, but the word Radeon, I remember that. But you guys seem to be everywhere in terms of just everyone has decided, hey, they want to be your best friend right now, and you are going into almost every aspect of not just gaming but computing. I want to talk about gaming specifically. What are you guys up to right now that you can talk about in terms of like partnerships and stuff like that you guys are finding yourselves now in PlayStation hardware and stuff like that?
Well, from a partnership perspective and talking about the consoles, we have an entirely different product group that work on embedded type technologies, very customized processors for unique opportunities like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. And they actually service things like lottery consoles and other standalone arcade boxes and other very unique non-gaming applications where they're very graphics intensive. So it's a very very important and growing piece of the AMD enterprise, and very highly customized processors working hand in hand with different software developers and different unique engineering companies building these things.
If I can ask quickly, one specific one that's always confounded me since I saw a year ago. There's a big series called I think it was the Big Buck Hunter, comes out of Europe and stuff like that. They made that into a sort of a slot machine at a casino. Are you guys into stuff like that as well? Because I'm trying to figure out where those partnerships are coming from also.
So we are likely in those partnerships from a hardware perspective. And, you know, personally, I don't know which companies use our tech, but that is a business area that we are definitely involved in. When it comes to working with the game companies, I can talk a little bit about that on the PC side. So, you know, we have great relationships with virtually all the game companies out there. We need to make sure that the entire market that uses our hardware has the best possible experience. So it's simply, you know, ensuring that the game runs very well when it launches is just a critical piece of what we do. But, you know, we've been working very closely with companies like Electronic Arts. They launched Battlefield and the new Frostbite 3 game engine using a technology that we helped develop called Mantle. And this is a very important new, it's a software development, but it lets the game engineers build a product that talks directly to our processors, bypassing a lot of legacy, you know, legacy software that is no longer really necessary. So very brilliant engineers going ahead, working with this technology, enabling more FPS, if you will, more visuals on screen at any point in time, really making the game run much more efficiently on our hardware.
And I should remind everyone that we're talking to Peter Ross with AMD, who has an actual title, but it's so lengthy that I honestly, I'm not totally sure I could pronounce it. It's kind of like that game that Capcom recently announced. Dead Rising 3 Alpha Omega Mix. Good on them, if nothing else. They're having some fun with it. I only really have one more question, and I'm just wondering, I know you guys, stuff is changing so quickly, and you do have plans for the future. I know you don't want to talk about them all, but is there any tidbit you guys can give us that would just, like, what are you guys excited about for the future?
Well, we have a technology called HSA. It's really it's heterogeneous computing. It's really bringing a lot of these technologies, mashing them together on one processor and one, you know, one consistent software block. So it should make lots of software experiences much more smooth, efficient. You can drive a lot more performance, a lot more compute capabilities on a smaller and smaller chip. You know, the whole entire world is, and the computing industry is obviously shrinking. Talking about low power usage, and this is exactly what this is driving towards.
This is a very general question. Obviously, it's so general. I doubt you can give me a very specific answer, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Given how quickly technology is changing, there's an entire room down the hall filled with gentlemen who have spent so much money on big towers with, you know, water cooling, hard drives, and all sorts of other things that I'm barely able to talk about because I just barely understand. But how long is that going to last? How long before that becomes irrelevant? And what you see there might as well be a Ford Model T for, you know, all, you know, sort of purposes.
I think we've still got years ahead of us of these high-end gamer, you know, gaming-type PCs. Yes, the entire world's shrinking. Of course, everyone is moving to mobile platforms, whether it's, you know, a phone or a tablet. Even like notebook market, everyone's, you know, kind of it's common knowledge that that's been shrinking a little bit and shifting to tablets. But, you know, frankly, I think there's been a brilliant resurgence of high-end PC. It's I don't know if it's a luxury item so much as it is there's this something very visceral about using a big PC, getting your hands dirty. It's kind of like the old, you know, the old car guy kind of mentality. I'm not a very good mechanic. You know, I change the oil and change the tires, but I can build a PC. It's kind of one of those cool hobbyist things. And you don't have to have a ton of money, some time and some patience, a little bit of spray paint, and you can do some pretty cool things.
It's funny you say that because actually in the last week or so, I've done some minor repairs in my car and fixed my toilet. And, you know, just with a little bit of money and a little bit of time, it can become a hobby and you can sort of just... So it's ironic that you say that. I don't know if you have any comment on that, but I just found it ironic.
It's definitely a labor of love for a lot of these guys. We really respect the work that they do. You know, we love the fact that they're PC gamers, of course. They're buying our hardware. But it's what they do around the components. You know, the CPU and the graphics card only do so much, right? It's the rest of the experience. How does the game look on the monitor, driving up to like 4K technologies or multiple monitor support with our iFinity? it's so much more than the parts, right? It's the sum of the whole kit.